Looks like the fucking Hamburglar.
Hey everyone, it's Tableside Mashed Potatoes. Happy 2021. I'm here with Scott and Peter. I'm Derek Ovinga, and we're here to talk about marketing again. Hi everyone.
Hello.
Hey, nice to be here.
I gotta be honest with you, I am so not in the headspace for this podcast even tonight. Had such a I love it and I love hanging out with you guys. I hit a wall at about 3:30, but it was like I didn't eat, didn't take a break. It was just meeting, workout, meeting. And then at like 3:30, I'm like, I'm starting to feel like chills and my eyes are all like watery and stuff.
Oh,
and I'm
shit.
Like, oh Jesus, like catches up with you.
Yeah. I've been trying to do this thing where I start work at very early in the morning, at 6 o'clock. And by the time like noon hits, I'm just like, I'm too tired to continue.
But yeah.
I force it. I pick like the easiest tasks ever. Excuse me. Sorry.
You have your good time, your productive time.
Yeah. But
nobody's productive time is late afternoon. Like,
no. Between 6 and 10, I'm just like nonstop. I'm just like a robot.
I could absolutely have a afternoon nap, right? Like at 2 o'clock. I think everyone could. Like, I love the idea of like a countrywide nap in the afternoon.
A siesta,
like they do in Spain. In Spain, you eat a giant lunch and then you go to sleep for.
Yeah,
I love the giant lunch part.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did, because it gets so hot that you know you work until around like 2 p.m. You have a lunch and a beer, swim in the ocean, and go have a nap, and then you come back to work at like 5, and you work from like 5 to 8 or whatever, and then that's when you eat dinner, is like later in the evening.
Yeah. And you go salsa dancing and all that.
Yeah.
Flamenco.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just don't know if I'd be able to go back after all of that, right?
Oh, I could go back after a nap for sure.
Would you consider this season 2?
Yeah, this is season 2. This is episode 1 of season 2.
Never thought we'd see season 2.
To be honest, I didn't think we'd see half of season 1, but we did.
Do you think there'd be a theme for this next season versus, was there a theme for the last one? It just felt like chaos.
I feel like the theme for the first season was let's just start it and let's figure out how to do it. This year, I still don't know what the theme is. I think we're still trying to figure out. We had some awesome guests last year. We'll probably have some great guests this year, but this episode, we're by ourselves and we're going to be talking about a blog that Scott wrote. I guess like what, October, November of last year?
Yeah, that sounds October 1st.
Oh, wow. You have it written down somewhere.
No, I'm looking at it right now because I don't remember.
I thought it was like an Asana task I created you. It was like, hey, here's the due date, October 1st. And you went to go look at your completed Asana tasks.
That's a good theory, but no.
Gotcha. Yeah, I remember. I think I started reading it in October. I think I finished up last night, to be honest.
It's not that long.
No, it's not that long. And, you know, we could summarize it in this episode. But if you really want to read it, go to blog.zgm.ca and look for October 1st, or just find Scott Irwin in the authors. And it's a really great write-up.
We'll put a link in the notes, right?
Yeah, and maybe we should talk about what this topic is that he blogged about and what we're going to be talking about on the episode today. And basically, what we're going to be talking about is how to be outcome oriented. Don't know why that took me so long to say. I couldn't figure out the outcome of that title, but yeah, it's the alliteration kind of messed me up.
That's all right.
It's totally fine. So it's how to become outcome oriented. It's a really good article. Scott, do you kind of want to summarize a little bit about what the blog is? What do you mean, how to be outcome oriented?
Yeah. So I was on the hook for writing a blog, and I usually start about 3 or 4 or 5 of them. And it's like a competition to see which idea will actually come to fruition, because I have like just a graveyard of like articles that are 2/3 written that I've just lost confidence in.
You could write a book.
Yeah. A book, half written articles. That's great. I think it still kind of surprises me often. We'll get you know, a client kickoff or an engagement and, you know, might be for a website and, but it doesn't have to be a website. It can be anything. We're in a creative services firm. But it's, I still find it kind of surprising sometimes when I do with a big bag of money and goes, here, we want this thing. And we go, okay, this is great. We can make about a million different versions of this thing. How do we make it so that it helps you achieve your goals? And they, and oftentimes there is zero answer for that because they've, and I'm not, I don't know if it's a conscious thing or not, but they've kind of oftentimes stopped at the idea that like, well, here's the thing. We need a website or an ad campaign or whatever. But often the, you know, the reasoning for that, it doesn't necessarily go much past that. And so, and this is kind of the value that I think we bring. This is why I wanted to write the article is that, you know, part of what engaging with a creative services firm looks like is working with them to try to determine what your goals and outcomes are. Because let's say it's a, you know, a couple of $1,000s or a couple $100,000s. It's not a trivial amount of dollars that a client is often going to spend with an agency like ours. So they want something out of it. They're going to want an ROI. You don't just go through a series of activities just for the sake of it. There's always got to be some reason for doing anything. And, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. And quite frankly, when the internet was new and we were all just experimenting and making sites and apps and of all different shapes and sizes and purposes, and it was really much more kind of just creative exploration. And, you know, to a certain extent, depending on the challenge, maybe it's an awareness campaign or something like that. And that's really all it is. But as, you know, the internet has matured and as users have gotten more sophisticated, it's more about, okay, well, I'm spending time on here to do something. And here being the internet. And if the people who provide that experience or that content don't understand what it is that those people are there to do, then nobody's going to spend a lot of time there. And so how it actually ties into a business, you know, regardless of whether it's a marketing site or an informational or a, you know, a big corporate website, or maybe it's something a little bit more product related where you're there to accomplish a task, purchase something, whatever. We need to try to put some rigor around what it takes to do that and the value that it brings for the person paying us to do that.
It happens everywhere. Social media, people want social media. They want Facebook and they want to have an Instagram and they want a lot of followers, or they want to make a blog post and they want an active blog post, or they want to have, like you said, a campaign, or they, you know, everything is just, they want the tactic for the tactic's sake. It's like, hey, we need a big Facebook following. It's like, for what? You know, if you go up high enough, you get back to the outcome. It's like, okay, so if all of this is just to, in order to get leads, or if it's get new customers, like that's the outcome you're trying to get. How we're getting there could be Facebook. It could also be a whole manner of things. But if you, I think where the frustration comes in from, you know, agency life and whatnot, is you tend to get brought in at that output level. They've already decided what they want, and then you're coming in to fulfill that. But it's a lot more rewarding to be on the problem side. It's like, okay, what are you trying to achieve? Maybe it is Facebook, but we also have a million other things at the our disposal that we could draw from, right? And maybe we can help you get there faster, cheaper, more effectively if we're brought in at that level.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the difference between agencies that kind of fall to that vendor role where they're just making a thing and creative services firms that kind of occupy that partner role where we're looking to help you achieve a result, not just making a thing. And things are great. And I like to make things, you know, I'm a creative person. I like to, I mean, we're talking digital here, but you know, you like to be able to craft something, put a lot of time and effort and blood, sweat and tears into something. But if it doesn't serve some purpose at the end, either solve a user need or address a business or organizational goal, it's kind of like a time at its worst, right? Because it, you know, you spent a bunch of time and a bunch of money and a bunch of effort doing something that had zero impact. And I don't think anybody wants to part with dollars for something that's not going to get them any impact. And certainly from the service provider perspective, we're always looking at making sure we're maximizing our value as a business. Mm-hmm. So we maximize our value as a business if we're able to provide ROI for our customers and clients. And so this is why at the beginning of an engagement, we always start with this, you know, and they sometimes feel kind of trite or, you know, silly questions to ask, but, you know, it's, we have kind of kickoffs. We're like, you know, tell us about your business. Tell us about your problem that you're experiencing with this. You must have one or many. And how does a new web campaign influence in a positive way or try to solve this problem that we're dealing with, right? And it's really just, it comes down to problem solving. We have a problem or we've identified a problem that a service like ours could potentially help with. And then you can start going crazy with the ideas around how we might be able to solve that problem.
Yeah. What is your process? Or you mentioned some of the questions there, but what is your process of getting to the heart of things, the business metrics or any metrics that you might be wanting to get an understanding of before coming up with a potential solution?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do, but it's all kind of some version of a stakeholder workshop. Maybe it's a kickoff session with project team on the agency to the stakeholders. You want to have the people who are going to be contributing to this project either in, you know, a day-to-day fashion or who have ultimate authority and sign off on certain things so that you can really start to, you know, get it from the horse's mouth as to how they view their business, how do they view their industry, what is kind of the market landscape right now. And this is all really, really high level stuff. I mean, you know, we're not all MBAs, but it really does help to be able to understand where everything is kind of in this very broad spectrum of their marketplace. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just through conversations, we have a lot of conversations. We may have one-on-one interviews. We may ask for, you know, if they have any customers or clients that they can put us in touch with so we can actually talk with them directly. We may actually go out to just, you know, just a broader pool of potential customers or clients or users. Right. And engage with them through some conversations or some user interviews or these types of things. But it allows us to kind of get an overall sense of where they are. Maybe where they think they are isn't actually where they are, or maybe the problem that they think they have is actually slightly different, or it needs to be zoomed out a little bit. Just jumping right in and going, okay, well, here, we'll make this thing. And again, I think in the article I say, you know, if the only goal is to produce a website, let's say, I mean, you can do that with a Wix account and, you know, a couple of bucks. But is that our metric of success, the fact that we launched a website? Or is our metric of success the fact that we moved a needle? And again, it usually it comes down to a business metric on the side of the organization, or helping a user or client need, which again kind of funnels down to being like, okay, if we solve the user's problem, it will benefit positively on our business.
It's kind of like being getting stuck in the friend zone. It's like being in the vendor zone. If you end up there, you just end up doing tactics all the time, right? So it's always, you're just always going to be on the serving end of whatever they've decided. And sometimes that's okay, right? Like, I was thinking about it. It's like, you know, you don't want to be trying to back up everyone every time they want something. If they wanted like a small ad, it's like, whoa, wait. Like, you know, what is the higher purpose here? Sometimes an ad's, and sometimes a site's a site. But at the end of the day, you know, the whole idea of an agency is you're an agent. You're essentially supposed to make people profitable. You're supposed to make businesses work. And if you keep that lens on it, then you should be challenging things as it comes through. Is that the best use of your client's money? Is there a better way for them to achieve their results? And if they share those results, you can begin that partner role of helping them actually become go to market, right? Which is part of a marketing firm, or sell their products or get more customers or whatever it is. But if you don't know those things, you really kind of have to do whatever you're told.
Yeah.
So yeah, interesting.
Yeah. And I mean, business leaders, business owners, executives, whatever, tend to care about five things, generally speaking: increasing revenue, decreasing costs, increasing new business or market share, increasing revenue from existing customers, and increasing shareholder value, right? There might be a couple things that are, you know, maybe an offshoot of one of those, and that's a debate that you can have. But at the end of the day, everything kind of funnels to one of those business metrics, right? And the goal for us, as you know, I'll just use the example of the UX designer, is okay, well, so let's figure out from a user's perspective where their needs aren't being met, whether it's something super tactical like, oh, people aren't converting because they don't know this thing's a button, or whether it's something super high level like, you know, there's no product market fit for the app that you've created, right? Mm-hmm. Or whatever. That there's, it can be very, very narrow, or it can be very, very large. But the point is that if you take a lens of going, okay, there are human needs here that need to be met using, you know, in this case, technology. If we meet those, how does that affect our outcomes? And when we think of this, we can think of it in kind of like, an output would be the thing, right? An output is, you know, an ad or an ad campaign or an app or a website or something along these lines. It's a series of exercises and stuff that we all kind of come together to do to create. An impact is one of those five things that I just mentioned, right? It's a very, very high level. Increasing revenue, right? Yeah, everybody's goal, if they own a business, is probably to increase revenue. But that's too broad of a target to focus on, because oftentimes you won't actually even know whether the things that you are doing today ended up increasing your revenue 3 or 4 quarters from now. Maybe it will, but maybe there's a lag time, right? So those are high-level impacts. And in between the output and the business impact is an outcome. So it's something that you can go, in the article, I use an example because we have a lot of non-for-profit clients. So clients that aren't businesses that are looking to necessarily generate revenue as a business metric. But maybe they're looking to decrease costs, and there's a million different ways that you could look at doing that. But if you took a look at it from a user perspective and said, okay, maybe this this portal that we have where people log into this government site and they have to do something and log in and download something or fill something out or apply for a payment or whatever is, you know, really onerous and challenging to get through. And people end up giving up because it's confusing, and they flood our call center with our help desk with calls constantly. That in turn forces a higher level of help desk staff, which could be actually probably deployed to other more valuable areas within the organization. But instead, everybody's got to kind of focus on this help desk thing. So it, you know, an idea of an outcome, if we do a great job at redesigning this customer portal, we will then reduce the volume of help desk calls that our internal staff needs to address, freeing them up to be able to contribute to other areas of our organization and reducing costs that way, right? So it may not necessarily lead to a decrease in costs. It's certainly possible that it could. And so that's kind of the area where we try to focus in and go, okay, well, maybe we run some experiments. Maybe we have this hypothesis now. How do we try and confirm that, you know, equals B. He doesn't equal B because those are letters, but you know what I'm saying? 2 + 2 = 4.
It's funny because it leads into billing. At least we talk about it a lot around if you are outcome focused in any job, you still tend to charge or you tend to bill based on inputs, right? Like time or those types of things. And that's where it's kind of interesting to, obviously we've kind of changed this in our industry, but if you're billing on units of time and then you're producing outcomes for clients, the two don't equal the same. That probably is A and B in your case, right? You know, the other little bit to the equation is inputs, right? What does it take in order to achieve outcomes, and how do you measure that stuff?
That's a really good question that I think everybody in our industry probably struggles with. Because yeah, you're right. There's a number of different ways you can value and therefore price the work that an agency or creative firm does, right? There's selling time and materials. So that is the inputs side of things. There's outputs. What is the overall market value of the thing we're making? So, you know, if you're making cars, but you're selling them for, you know, $5 million a piece, you're not going to have a lot of customers because it's just way outside of, you know, what the market value is of that. But then there's the value side of things. You know, if somehow buying a car allowed you to make $10 million this year through, I don't know, some crazy way, just as an example, if you're just a crazy skip the dishes driver 24/7 running around, you get the idea. All of a sudden, $5 million for a car doesn't seem all that outrageous if it is a fair degree of certainty that it's going to net you more in terms of value. Value in this case being dollars, but value can be a bunch of different things, right? Either way, though, I think we should be aiming at outcomes in the work that we do. I know just from doing this for a long time that it's much more satisfying on the producer end of work, you know, angling for actual impact. Like we changed something here. Something we did had an impact, and we can see that impact. We can actually measure it because, you know, the thing we were aiming at has now gone up.
Yeah.
That's a very, you know, it's a much more satisfying way to be, I think, and the way to approach our work. And that doesn't mean it has to be super boring and static and only conversion driven and only data. You know, we're all human beings and creativity is still such a an integral part of our business. We're not just, you know, data is super important, but we're not just sitting there going, okay, I'm just going to fiddle with these dials until this works, right? There's a certain level of creativity and strategic thinking that goes into all of this. But personally, I think it's just the only way to stay relevant. At some point, if the stuff you do doesn't produce value for the people that you do it for, other than, wow, doesn't my website look great? Yeah, bragging rights. Yeah. If that's what the client was after, and they explicitly said, I want this to look awesome, better than my competitor. All right, that's our outcome. But sooner or later, you know, most people are going to have some expectation of ROI for the work that we do. And, you know, so that's kind of where I think our head should be at with this.
Hey, real quick question. Assuming the audience can hear by now, but they can't hear the ice in the glass, you know, our little trademark ice shaking around in the glass.
Yeah.
How are y'all your dry Januaries going?
It's harder than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain times. It's just certain times of the day. Like every Thursday and Friday evening. It's just moments that I find, especially now, it would be good.
Yeah.
I miss.
Did you guys watch the inauguration?
No.
No? Didn't care?
Not that
Lady Gaga singing and J-Lo singing?
No.
Well, I would have tuned in if there was a riot. I think I would have looked at it.
Yeah, you know,
isn't that crazy? If it bleeds, it leads, right?
Yeah, totally. That is totally true. Once I knew everything was good, I was like, all right, I'll catch up with it later.
Yeah.
But the Wednesday 2 weeks before, I was like glued to my phone.
Oh, the Capitol.
Yeah.
I'm feeling pretty positive, though. Like, I was like, oh, we just got to get past this inauguration. Now we have new president. Mm-hmm. We have vaccines flying around, although they seem to be hard to distribute. The sun's staying out a little longer every day. Dry January's almost over. Like, there's some pretty positive things. I'm feeling pretty good.
And
better than I did in November.
Yeah, and season two of Tableside Mashed Potatoes is going to be a successful year.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for listening, and we hope you tune in for the next few episodes, and we hope you enjoy this season. If you have any topic ideas that you want to discuss, or if you want to become a guest on the podcast, feel free to email us. The email address will be in the show notes. Bye.
Bye. Yep. You've been